If people are dieting now more than ever before, why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that doesn't turn into fat when you consume it. Instead, it turns into a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body.
So getting more MCTs in your diet is like flipping a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which flushes out excess fat and calories. And Dr. Gundry has created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it comes in a tasty drink form. It actually tastes good. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized.
So if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/RLRC and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. And again, that's GundryMD.com/RLRC.
Awesome.
All right, good deal.
In Georgia, a Snapchat stalker gets life in prison after attacking a 15-year-old girl. In North Carolina, the FBI investigates the death of a pastor's wife after finding some very suspicious items in her car. And in Michigan, cash-bearing squatters are finally evicted from a home. These stories and more coming at you today, Thursday, May 30th. On Real Life Real Crime Daily, and I'm Jim Chapman.
And I'm Kelly Jennings.
What?
Yep.
Kelly Jennings.
I broke in.
The unspeakable one herself.
Tis I.
KJ.
In the house.
In the house to help out today while Woody is still with sickness, I guess you would say. Ill?
He's ill.
He's ill. And not in a good way, because when we were young, ill was a good thing.
Right.
Yeah, but not in this case. He's not feeling very well, and so Kelly is so nice as to agree to help me out because I've done two of these by myself, and they're kind of weird. I don't get any cross, you know, it's one opinion here.
You need some camaraderie or someone at least butt heads with you.
I'm not used to being by myself. What can I say?
And if anyone's willing to argue and talk, it's me.
You got that right.
Let's do it.
So thank you very much for coming on, Kelly. We really do appreciate it. And check out Unspeakable, y'all, on any podcast platform and follow her on Facebook.
Yeah, go
so
find
we'll
me.
Get all that out the way now. And we're going to jump right into it, Miss Kelly, and we're going to go to Michigan.
I'll go with you.
Come on with me. And we're going to talk about a residential community in Michigan that is celebrating the end of a squatter situation. And look, we cover this a lot on the show, y'all, where these squatters just take up residence. And, you know, these typically it's abandoned houses and whatnot. But in this case, it was a neighborhood that, you know, this is a neighborhood people live in. Like your house down the street goes for sale and people are living there, but they don't actually own the house. So they talked to a neighbor, and this neighbor, you know, was discussing the safety and things like that. When you have squatters in your neighborhood, they're people you don't know. A lot of the people in this particular neighborhood had children. They were concerned about their safety. So we're going to get into this story. And a guy by the name of DeMarco Smith, who was a resident in Dowagiac, Michigan. So they talked to some residents, and one of them said, look, when this guy moved in, he would just start bringing in trash, old washers, dryers, etc. We hang out in our backyard. We have a movie theater and a bar, and there was just always random people back there talking about that other house. They had no running water, no electricity for about 3 years. So these squatters weren't hanging out for a weekend. This is 3 years. Now, when you ask me, how did they go 3 years? It blows my mind because if someone's in my neighborhood and there's an abandoned house and they're in there for 3 days, and I notice, I'm, you know, calling the po-po.
Yeah. Well, I'm also going to knock on the door and hello.
Yeah. So, So this particular squatter, he would scrap most of the electrical throughout the house, they found out. He took the copper plumbing out, and he even sold the furnace. So Smith, he's trying to figure out what he can do about this. And he decides, I'm going to build a 6-foot fence all the way around my yard to separate my kids and my wife from this squatter who became a next door neighbor for all intents and purposes. However, upon installing that fence, Smith said some men tried to tear it down and it still is partially in shreds today. He's got 14 cameras around his property and they were doing drugs there, all the things you would think most of these squatters would do. We couldn't go outside because it smelled like chemicals throughout the whole backyard.
Meth lab.
Probably, and you would be an expert on that. The fire department went 8 times and they caught the shed on fire in the backyard even. So they probably did have a little meth labness going on over there.
Clandestine laboratory.
Exactly. His wife and his daughter did not feel safe there. That goes without saying, obviously. And he described the area as actually a great neighborhood, said the local residents had no issues with one another or others on other streets until those squatters moved in. So just a really crazy situation going on there. Now, eventually, they were able to get the spotter evicted. I don't know exactly, you know, everything there is to know about Michigan law relative to like evictions. I don't know how you have to evict someone when they never actually legally live there.
So I'm not going to say names or anything like that, but we may or may not have some experience dealing with this in my neck of the woods.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And this was a situation where people took up residence and kicked out the lawful renter,
mm-hmm.
and took it up as their own and refused to leave and even though they did not pay rent and they did not have any paperwork proving they were allowed to be there, still had to go through the court system.
Wow.
Months and months. And these people know that. That's why they do it.
Yeah.
And so I don't understand why we haven't changed laws in some aspect for squatters specifically, because they do it on purpose. They know that it's going to take months and they're getting shelter. These people don't require much. They don't want electricity or water. You just said that.
Yeah.
They get a free roof over their head. They're getting to do drugs, you know, and nobody's bothering them. Burn the damn thing down. You don't own it. But to me, a crime's been committed. I mean, they're stealing the copper and they are clearly not the owner of the property.
Period. And they're on the property and not the owner.
They're trespassing.
They're trespassing, if nothing else. It wouldn't surprise me if more laws do come out now. Look, 10 years ago, I don't think in most areas of this country, this was that big of a problem.
People are brazen now.
You're right. And I have seen, just while we've been doing Real Life Real Crime Daily, a huge uptick in squatter situations, just researching stories.
Yeah. Well, okay. And I would say, look at your drug trends too. Drug trends and squatters. I bet they go hand in hand.
Yeah.
People don't want to spend their money on housing when they will have dope problems.
That's a good point.
Your dope sickness comes first.
So. That's true. And of course, I mean, we're not throwing everybody under the same pot. I mean, there's some people out there just on hard times and maybe they just, we don't know their story, but I would probably say a high percentage of them are addicted to something. So there you have it with that squatter situation. They were finally able to evict him. And here's the kicker to that story. When they eventually evicted those people from that home, they had a ton of cash.
Of course.
Because they scrapped the whole house.
Of course.
That's true.
Okay, and this is the other thing. And I'm like for the people. I'm no politician, by the way, but I'm for right winning all the time.
Sure.
And to me, you would never get it because you can't get blood from a turnip. But to me, they should owe back rent. If you have to be evicted like that, there should be something. I know it would be moot. I get that.
Yeah.
But to me, you can't scrap a whole house.
Right.
You lived there for free. And then what? You just get the boot? Because guess what? You're going to move somewhere else you shouldn't be.
Right.
Clearly.
Yeah. True.
And you know where they're getting their money? They're stealing from other people, too. This is a community problem, not just that individual home's problem.
Right. I would agree.
Now, let me tell you what's happening in Augusta, Georgia. A former Georgia Department of Corrections officer was arrested after the death of an Augusta State Medical Prison inmate. So according to the Georgia Department of Corrections, Roderick Hayes, who was 39 years old, died as the result of an altercation that this officer was involved in. So the authorities say that Lloyd Edward Hopkins, and he's 51, which I was kind of impressed. He's 20 years, well, not quite 20. I'm not good at math, but he's older than this inmate, right?
Yeah.
So, the fight, I don't know, my brain kind of went to what was the fight like, but then I get more information here. But this 51-year-old Lloyd Hopkins was fired from the Georgia Department of Corrections, and he was arrested on Sunday for failing to follow policies and procedures while working at the Augusta State Medical Prison. So Hayes had been sentenced to 25 years in state custody for, drumroll please, trafficking of person for labor or sexual servitude, and he was serving 10 years for another charge. And Hayes was committed to the State Department in July of 2018. So he wasn't really a good guy, right? I mean, he wasn't doing the right things, at least. The authorities say that Hayes' body was turned over to the county coroner, and he's going to be transported to the GBI Medical Examiner's Office to determine the official cause of death. And the death is being investigated by the GDC's Office of Professional Standards. So according to authorities, Hopkins has been charged with party to the crime of murder, party to the crime of aggravated assault, violation of oath of office, and he is now being held at the Columbia County Detention Center without bond, which to me speaks volumes.
Yeah.
No bond, you effed up.
Yeah.
So the Georgia Department of Corrections has also stated that two inmates have been charged with felony murder and aggravated assault in this same investigation. Brendan Lamar Moore, who's serving a life sentence, this guy's a real winner too, a life sentence for rape, hijacking, aggravated sodomy, two counts of armed robbery, three counts of kidnapping, and three counts of terroristic threats and acts. This dude was bad news.
Winner.
Right. And then Andy Ulysses, I believe is how you would pronounce this, who is serving a 20-year sentence for a 2015 kidnap. I mean, everybody's kidnapping these people.
Yeah.
Jesus. For kidnapping and state time, which also included sentencing for armed robbery, false imprisonment, theft by taking, possession of marijuana, and two counts of possession of a knife during a crime. So this is what I'm thinking, and I have no foundation to base this on. But it sounds to me like I don't necessarily know that Lloyd, the officer, was 100% the guy who did this. Failure to follow the policies and procedures tells me he maybe turned a blind eye, and those two maybe got the jump on the other guy. That's how I read that. How did you read it?
You know, it's
failure to follow procedures. He wasn't charged with murder or anything. Failure to follow policies and procedures.
I think that, yes, and I think that there's a possibility he either did just what you're saying or he put them up to it. So, you know, the altercation with the inmate, he may have had an altercation with him. And then, you know, you've been a CO before.
Yeah.
It could have been a situation where he went to these other two guys and he basically said, look, I'll give you all special privileges if you beat the shit out of this guy.
He might have got a conspiracy charge if he did that. I would think he would get a conspiracy. This is just failure to follow policies and procedures. So maybe.
Yeah, but you got no bond on that? Come on.
Shit, somebody died.
Yeah.
In state custody. I mean, damn.
Well, maybe he fell asleep on the job.
It could have been. We need more information.
Don't say that.
What did he do?
It's telling you. You know how it is in prison. They keep it so hush hush.
I know.
That's the thing. When you're researching, and look, I research a lot about Angola. I just did, and y'all check it out, Bloody Angola's episode that dropped today actually is on Wade Youth Detention Center.
Mm-hmm.
And they have they've been in a lot of hot water. There's a lot of things that came out in 2022 by the New York Times. Mm-hmm. Did a 50-page piece on them that I cover on this episode. And then just released last month, and I'm circling around to my point, mm-hmm. was the Inspector General for the state of Louisiana's investigation of that Wade Correctional Center. And it's pretty shocking, some of the things you're going to find out when you listen to that episode. But it circles back to this, and that is, when you are a correctional facility, whether you're in the right or the wrong, you don't like a lot of stuff getting out.
Right.
So you protect that. And this is, I'm sure that situation, they're being very hush hush because this guy was a CEO.
Yeah. And 51, man, I wonder how many years he had on the job, you know,
cause probably a good bit.
Yeah. I just know this, policies and procedures are in place for a reason and you are trained all the time.
Yeah.
All the time. I mean, you have to get the ACA accreditation that you get in prisons for the American Correctional Association. I mean, you're going to have your officers up to date and trained. He did something. Failure to do something is doing something. And that's what this sounds like to me.
That's right. Well, we'll keep you updated as information develops in that case. All right, Kelly. What y'all may not know about Kelly Jennings is that she is a huge fan of soap operas.
Oh my God. My life is a soap opera.
Yeah, you are the star of a soap opera. Do you watch? Have you watched?
No.
Have you ever been into?
No.
See, my wife loves soap operas.
I am.
She doesn't watch them anymore because, you know, she got out of college and it was like, I got to go to work now. But she would watch them when she was in college. And
let
stuff.
Me tell you when they are most popular in my life or were most popular in my life. It's when I was at Angola because really? The quietest time on the farm is whenever the soap operas come on because those inmates love watching those soap operas.
Okay.
They have their favorite characters.
Well, you know, I didn't watch them very closely, but I dated a couple girls when I was younger that watched them, and General Hospital was their thing. Mm-hmm. That and Young and the Restless. One of the girls I dated,
God, that's grandma.
She was a Young and the Restless. Yeah, but she loved it.
No, during the
summer. I think Wendy likes that one.
No, I mean, during the summer at my grandma's house, you know, a soap opera would come on.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the reason we're talking about this is an actor, sadly, has been fatally shot, and he was an actor for General Hospital. His name is Johnny Wachter. He was a 37-year-old current actor on General Hospital and sadly was shot and killed over the weekend. Basically, he caught several suspects trying to steal the catalytic converter off of his car. Now, according to the LAPD, on Saturday, May 25th at 3:25 a.m., this is the middle of the night, officers received a call about an assault with a deadly weapon in a shooting. This was in downtown L.A. When they arrived, they found John Wachter, who went by Johnny, injured from an apparent gunshot wound. Paramedics transported him to a nearby hospital where he was pronounced deceased. Witnesses told police that Wachter finished his shift as a bartender, and while walking into his car, he was confronted by three individuals who had Wachter's vehicle raised up with a floor jack and were in the process of stealing the catalytic converter. And look, I know they steal them, but I've never heard of anybody actually jacking up the car. Usually they can slide underneath.
That's what I'm talking about brazen. What is this world coming to?
I mean, they're like freaking changing his oil out there.
Hold up. He's an actor and a bartender?
Yes.
I mean, you can fulfill dreams. Slang drinks.
Hey. And he may just like to do
and
that.
And be a soap opera star.
He didn't
star.
Need the money. Yeah. Well, that's what he was doing. He was walking to his car. They had his vehicle jacked up and were stealing that catalytic converter. Then without provocation, one of the suspects shot him. The three suspects then got into a dark sedan and fled the scene. Wachter had been with coworkers before the shooting, and he reportedly thought his car was being towed because he did see it raised up on the floor jacks. When he asked one of the suspects about a tow, they shot him. Wachter's agent said he was a spectacular human being, not just a talented actor committed to his craft, but a real moral example for everyone who knew him. Wachter's acting credits not only included General Hospital, but he also played Brando Corbin in 164 episodes of that show and many other shows.
You know, it makes my heart hurt for him because he probably did go out there not even ready for a fight. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He's thinking that he's broken some kind of parking violation issue.
The last thing you're going to think is someone's jacking up your car to steal your catalytic. I mean, if you see it out there and it's tilted, you're thinking, oh, they're towing my vehicle.
Yeah, because I'm gonna shoot you straight. I'm not a car person. I don't even know what a catalytic converter is.
Well, so just to tell you real quick, and for those that may not know, it's a part of your muffler, essentially, and it has rare earth metals in it. So it has like platinum in it.
Oh, yeah.
And they scrap it and you can get like a couple $100 for a catalytic converter as scrap metal.
I remember we had a ring of that. Doing. Yeah, we had a ring of that here locally. And
like I knew someone that got their catalytic converter stolen in the parking lot of a Bass Pro Shop.
First of all, that is the Lord's shop. In the middle, not mess up at Bass Pro.
They did it the middle of the day.
People. And you know, I know they found it. Wasn't it like a home in like Baton Rouge or something? They had like 15 of them in their garage. It was just like a regular home and they had them stacked up.
Well, and when you go to scrap these, I mean, they do ask for ID and all those things. But you roll up with
15 of them.
Yeah, that's kind of called fishy. A clue. But if you say, you know, hey, I own a muffler shop. I mean, there are muffler shops that they scrap them and of course, but it has become a major problem because the price of that metal keeps going up and up on that platinum.
And these criminals believe that this guy's life was worth that. And that's the sickest part.
Yeah.
His life.
Oh yeah. Shot him dead and he didn't even know what was going on.
Did they even get it or did they just speed away and murder him?
God. Yeah. They were in the middle of it. So I'd imagine they never actually got it. Although they say it takes about 3 seconds. I mean, you take a electric saw.
Jim, don't tell the people.
Well, they know. The ones that are going to steal it know for sure. But they take that electric, it's just an electric saw and boom. And, you know, if you're the owner of that car, another interesting fact is you don't even realize a lot of times until you're way down the road that it even got stolen because your car sounds crazy. It sounds like your muffler fell off, but it'll start. It'll run. You can drive it. You can drive it for days and days. It just is very loud.
Okay, so my husband, let me tell you how dumb criminals are too, and they'll steal anything. My husband owned a Super Duty, his truck, and we woke up one morning and went to go to work, and I walked out and I said, "Where's your tailgate?" He's like, "What do you mean, where's my tailgate?" They stole the whole damn tailgate because it said Super Duty on it.
Yes. You know that, look, it's and like she's a lifer and she listens to this show. Lori Johnson, shout out.
Hey, Lori.
Her husband and her were at a basketball tournament with their kid when their kid was little. She's now 25 or something. But when she was little, they were all at a basketball tournament in another state. And her husband had just bought a new truck. They stay at the hotel, and nice hotel, okay? Mm-hmm. The next morning, they go out there, the tailgate's gone. Only the tailgate.
I know, but they said, so the police told us that because it's stamped Super Duty, that those are hard to come by, and that's what they want. So they, but you know what? This poor old man that was living across the street and dying of cancer, they stole his whole ass boat.
Yeah.
The whole boat. I didn't live like in the hood, you know what I'm saying? Like we lived in a normal thoroughfare, you know? It was crazy. I hate a thief.
Yeah, these are the lowest of the low.
Woody, do you know why I want to learn more Italian?
Why, I go?
Because my niece is getting married next month, and that means a wedding full of these crazy Italians from out of town.
And when it comes to learning a new language, there's only one leader, Rosetta Stone.
Rosetta Stone's the most trusted language learning program, period. I've come a good ways using Rosetta Stone, but it's time to take it to the next level. My niece's wedding will be great prep for a trip I want to take next year.
Rosetta Stone is the trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered. No English translations. Rosetta Stone helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. It's designed for long-term retention.
And the True Accent feature is like having a personal trainer for your accent. Lifetime membership has all 25 of the languages for the rest of your life. That's lifetime access to all 25 language courses Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off.
There's no better time than right now to get started. Listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today.
That's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 languages for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today. Hey, everybody, it's Aggo. Listen up, especially you ladies over 40. I've got some good news. It's called Hormone Harmony. Hormone Harmony is an all-in-one hormonal balancing solution. It relieves symptoms of menopause. It promotes healthy weight loss and curbs cravings. It improves sleep quality. It reduces bloating and gas. It relieves hot flashes. It can even relieve occasional mood swings, although nothing like that has ever happened in my house. Hormone Harmony isn't just for menopause. Any woman with symptoms of hormonal imbalance should take it, but it's perfect for the horrible menopause symptoms that make you put your life on hold. For a limited time, you can get 15% off on your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use code RLRC at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and code RLRC at checkout for 15% off today.
But you know who I hate more?
Who?
People who may or may not be involved in their wife's death and they're a pastor.
Yeah, I don't like that either.
So the FBI is investigating the death of a pastor's wife who reportedly found GPS trackers and razors on her car. So the FBI and the United States Attorney's Office are now assisting in the death investigation of a pastor's wife after officials initially said she took her own life at a state park. So according to the Robeson County Sheriff's Office, on Saturday, April 27th, shortly before 3 p.m., a woman called 911 and said, this is a direct quote, she was going to kill herself and wanted her family to be able to find her body. The woman then reportedly hung up, and authorities responded to the location of Lumber River State Park in Orem, North Carolina. Deputies and state park rangers located a black Honda Accord that belonged to 30-year-old Micah Miller of Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Inside, the investigators reportedly found a gun case in the passenger seat, as well as a receipt for the weapon from a pawn shop. Officials also located ammunition in the center console. So according to the sheriff's office, while the authorities searched for Miller, a fisherman discovered her bag near the water's edge, and then he heard crying, and then boom, he heard a gunshot. Another individual reportedly found a body in the water, and they too called 911. So authorities responded to the area within the state park, and they identified the victim as Miller. The investigators also recovered a handgun nearby with a serial number that matched the gun box in her vehicle. The sheriff's office reviewed surveillance footage and developed a timeline of events on the day of Miller's death. And a Ring camera footage reportedly revealed Miller leaving her home in South Carolina on April 27th at approximately 11:38 a.m. And she then allegedly went into a pawn shop shortly after noon to purchase a gun. And she got ammunition before she headed to a convenience store and then later drove to the Lumber River State Park.
Yeah. And I can tell you, okay, so I've done a little studying on this case because it's big news right now. The issue here and why this story is so big news is her and her husband were having like major problems. And she had, from what I understand or what's being reported, some mental health issues. And they were going through some things. And I actually watched an interview that her best friend did with somebody on YouTube. It might have been Nancy Grace or somebody. I think it was Nancy Grace. One of them.
Shout out, Nancy.
Jimothy! So Nancy Grace are one of them. And this person basically said that, you know, her and her husband were having major problems. So some people are alluding to he may have had something to do with it. What pushes me away from that is they actually have video footage of her buying the gun in the pawn shop.
Right. And it sounds like it's a spur of the moment. She made a decision. Slam, bam. Thank you, ma'am.
Yeah. And I believe she did call somebody and say, because her thing was she wanted to make sure she was found is what she told them on the phone.
Yeah. She wanted her to make sure her family was able to find her body. Yeah.
So if you're under duress and someone's going to kill you, you're not going to make that call.
Right. Unless they force you to.
I don't know that even, I mean,
I'm just throwing it out there. I'm not saying
Yeah, but how do you force, that just seems very out of possibility for me. I guess you could force somebody, but I don't think that was a situation. I think this is a situation. Now, that being said, it was known that he would track her, and it was known. And look, if he was tracking her, I don't know their history. I mean, was he suspicious of her cheating on him, or was he just being a jerk and he's a freak and he was just tracking her because he's a freak? Could be that too. but that doesn't mean it killed her.
No, I don't think, I think that's a reach. Everything I've looked at here, it just seems like a reach right now. But I know, I mean, GPS trackers in today's time, kind of like, I mean, have you ever seen teenagers and how they have each other's like Life 360 and they track each other? I'm like, y'all are freaks.
We have a Life 360.
No, I'm saying the teenagers track the other teenagers, like their friends.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
I have friends that share their location with me.
Okay. Maybe I'm less friendly.
What, you not going to share your location with me, Kelly?
I mean, I'll tell you, I guess. But I mean, I'm just weird about all that because, I mean, I'm always afraid someone's going to be able to, like, hack that or something, and you can be tracked without your knowledge. I don't know.
Yeah, well, that's true. And it is.
But
it
what's
is
up with the razors on the car? What kind of razors? You know what I'm saying? Like, to me, it sounds like, just based on what I know, and listen, I know that what I know is not enough, and I'm smart enough to know that, but it almost sounds like a cry for help that if she. If she says she found razors on her car, I mean, were there threats from the outside? Were there anything that would imply?
Could possibly be. But
I don't see that.
I sure see this case as almost open and shut suicide with her making that call, purchasing the gun that was actually used to kill her.
Right.
Because what they do, y'all, is they can take the striations of the bullet and they can tell it was fired from that particular gun. Every one of them makes a unique marking when it's fired.
And
that's how they
groups.
Know. That's how exactly. So
this made big news, I think, because he's a pastor and they're trying to allude that he's done something. But just based on what we have right now, I'm not really.
Yeah, I'm not.
And the mental health issues on top of that, God bless her, you know, but it kind of seems like it's screaming. She was in a dark place.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thoughts and prayers.
Look, absolutely.
She had a family that loved her, and thoughts and prayers to them. And just, you know, it's a permanent solution to a temporary problem.
Check on suicide. People. Check on your people.
Yeah. If you're having those sort of thoughts, reach out to somebody that can help you. There's no
people,
doubt.
You know, people don't realize how much of a hole they leave in this world when they're gone.
They don't. Well, most people who resort to that, they feel like they don't matter.
And they do.
They don't realize how much they do in a lot of cases, which is sad. So we'll move on to, I'm going to give you an update, folks. And I brought you on the last episode some breaking news. At the time it was breaking, as a matter of fact, it flashed across my cell phone as I was doing the podcast. And that was a Zachary, Louisiana situation where a woman was shot trying to stop her neighbor's. Basically, what we knew at that time was someone was trying to break into vehicles in her neighborhood, and she was shot because she confronted them. Didn't have a whole lot of information at that time. Since then, we do have kind of an update on that. So shout out to Kieran Chawla and Filter with Kieran, who supplied this update on her Facebook. So go check that out if you'd like. A woman is recovering after being shot multiple times while attempting to stop a vehicle burglary. The incident actually occurred at 3 a.m. on Tuesday, May 28th in Zachary, Louisiana. Y'all, that's probably about 40 to 45 minutes from where we are filming right now or recording right now.
And so, fun fact, the stomping grounds of serial killer Derek Todley.
Yes, yes. His original stomping grounds were that Zachary area. So police chief of Zachary, Daryl Lawrence, said that officers responded to a call about a shooting, and when they arrived, they discovered that a suspect had been pulling on vehicle doors in the neighborhood. When the suspect was attempting to open doors at a specific home, which was not this particular woman's home, but a neighbor of hers, she confronted the suspect in an effort to stop the burglary. The citizen was shot three times, but thank the good Lord, the injuries are not considered life-threatening. She's very lucky, y'all. Someone's shooting at you three times, they're trying to kill you.
Absolutely.
So she got very lucky that apparently those bullets did not hit any major arteries or anything. She's going to be okay. Of course, the police advise not to confront anyone. But, you know, probably one of the biggest upticks in crime in this neck of the woods of Louisiana is these people going and pulling on car doors. And look, it's usually young guys. It's summertime now, y'all. Guess what? School's out. That's why Kelly can help me right now. His school is out. And so with school out, that means kids are out. Kids get bored. They look for things to do at night, some kids. and they get into trouble. And don't be surprised to see in your neighborhood, no matter where you're listening, an uptick in these car break-ins. A lot of times, they're not going to sit there and bust the window. They're pulling on handles.
But this case right here to me, though, is not kids being kids doing stupid stuff. This one's armed and willing to pull the trigger. These are killers. These are killers waiting to become...
And it may not even been a kid. It could have been a six-year-old man. I don't know.
Absolutely. But either way, you're willing to shoot someone over popping door handles. We have a lot bigger issue here than just someone doing car burglaries. This is a dangerous person or persons.
Yeah. And look, you've got to assume as a citizen, I said this on the last episode, but you've got to assume that that person is armed, whether they are or not.
Yep.
Of course, our official advice to anyone is let the police confront these guys. Don't go confront them yourself because you could end up in a situation just like this lady. But if you do, make sure you're armed because you've got to assume they are.
Yep.
We don't tell people what to do on this show, but obviously the correct thing to do, I guess, in a perfect world would be let the police handle it, call the police. But I'm not going to say I would do that. I would probably go out there and say, why are you yanking on my freaking door handle?
And then I'll take
Cat Daddy
multiple rounds. And let me tell you something now. I take rounds for you trying to protect your car. You better cook me cookies and bake me some cookies
tell
every
me about it.
Year.
Yes. I mean, and you know that neighbor feel. She's probably like, you didn't have to do that. Yeah.
Well, you
must have been tight with her.
Look,
they must have been thick as thieves.
They didn't get the catalytic converter either.
No.
All right, and now we're going to move into South Dakota.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
No one's above the law. So former South Dakota mayor is arrested and charged with 3 counts of murder. Like, go big or go home. A 64-year-old former city councilman and mayor was arrested this week on suspicion of fatally shooting not one, not two, but 3 people. The South Dakota Attorney General's Office announced on Tuesday, May 28th, that Jay Ostrom is being charged with 3 counts of first-degree murder in connection with killings that happened on Monday, May 27th at approximately 10 p.m. And why he did this, allegedly, is insane. Okay. So, according to the court documents, this is cited by the Sioux Falls Argus Leader, one of the victims, 21-year-old Zach Frankis, called the Lincoln County Sheriff's Office at around 9:45 p.m. and said that his brother, 26-year-old Paul Frankis, had been shot and killed. Zach Frankis reportedly said the shooter had returned and also shot him. He stopped responding shortly after the dispatch started the call. A South Dakota Games, Fish, and Parks officer saw Ostrom leaving the Frankis home and ordered him to get on the ground. And allegedly, Ostrom did not initially comply, but he eventually did follow orders. The Argus Leader reports Ostrom was being armed with a .380 caliber handgun and an AR-style rifle. He also had spent shell casings on him, and he smelled like alcohol.
Uh-oh.
If ever there's a bad mix, it's being pissed off, drinking, and a firearm.
Yeah.
Ostrom also had injuries on his left hand, and it was actively bleeding. Deputies entered the home, and they found the Frankis brothers and a third person, 25-year-old Timothy Richmond, deceased. The court documents reportedly say detectives spoke with Ostrom's wife, who said she and Paul Frankis were drinking together on May 23rd. Frankis allegedly kissed her without her consent and exposed himself. She then told her husband on May 27th, and that's when he went, quote, raging out of the house.
I bet he did.
4 days
later? Yeah, what's up with that?
And
maybe she knew he was going to do that.
Maybe she's trying to cover for him on why he went.
Yeah.
But Ostrom's wife reportedly said that she did not see him leave the house armed, but noted, hey, he does keep guns in the house and likely in his car. I mean, this bro showed up with an assault rifle.
Yeah, an AR-15.
And a .380.
You can't put that in the glove box.
I mean, damn.
Yeah.
According to the Argus Leader, Ostrom became mayor of Centerville in 2010, though the former police chief reportedly accused him of sexual harassment.
Oh.
But they settled the lawsuit. So Ostrom is now being held at the Minnehaha.
Minnehaha.
Yes.
That's the name of it?
That's the name of it, the Minnehaha. which I looked up, by the way, because I had to know more about that. And it actually means laughing water, with a bond set at $1 million cash.
I bet. And, you know, very rare situation you're going to see a mayor involved in, you know, murders, three counts of murder.
Yeah, and I'm kind of weirded out. Why would a 20-something-year-old be smooching on a 60-something-year-old?
Hey, don't be hating.
I'm not, but, I mean, you know. I mean, why? And then,
maybe
you just pull your junk
out? Likes older women.
Like, we're smooching, and then I just pull my junk out, and then 4 days later, my husband gets mad about it? Like,
well, you didn't tell him till 4 days later.
Well, where was he? And why did she feel comfortable with him pulling his hoo-ha out and smooching her and holding that in for four days?
I don't know.
I'm not.
I can tell you she probably didn't tell her husband until 4 days later because she knew that was going to happen. She's probably like, he's going to start killing people.
Maybe.
It's tragic and it's horrible and these people have families. But just a lot of questions. People. Yeah.
Over kissing. And we don't even know if that's true.
He ruined his life. I mean, he'll never see the outside of prison again. And he was the mayor, probably pretty successful guy, probably had a little bit of money.
And a drinking problem.
And a drinking problem. But, I mean, he... You know, he was in a successful position in life, and he has absolutely thrown away over a little smooch.
You're going to kill three young people, too, in their 20s. Yeah. You're a mayor. I mean, what are you doing?
Kelly Jennings, thank you for helping host today. Again, go check out Unspeakable. Kelly didn't do this to get the plugs, but I'm going to give her the plugs anyway.
That's so sweet.
And if you haven't listened to it yet, Unspeakable, a true crime podcast by Kelly Jennings is amazing. Just go listen to one episode and trust me.
And just remember that if you're easily offended,
she's not your girl.
Probably not your girl.
No, she's not your girl.
Because I'm just going to say it.
Yeah, that's right. So thank you so much again for coming on. Woody Overton should be back soon. The next couple of episodes, we'll likely have Kelly, you know, if she can, joining us again. And until next time, I'm Jim Chapman.
And I'm Kelly Jennings.
And she is your sub-host, and I'm your host of Real Life, Real Crime Daily. Peace.